right away to make sure that this continues through November. Bless you. To the phones we go. Juanita has been patiently waiting, and I appreciate your patience, Juanita. Thank you very kindly. How are you this evening? Juanita? Oh, yeah. There you are. Hello, Juanita? Juanita? Oh, doggone it. Juanita, are you there? Juanita? Okay, Juanita, you got to turn your radio, your computer speakers
on. Hello?
Yeah, there you are, Juanita.
Hello?
Hello?
Were you talking to me?
I was.
I can't. You're way off.
Well, you've got your speakers on in the background there, and that's probably making part of the problem.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. How are you?
I don't know. Kind of whimsical, I guess.
Well, good, good. What's on your mind?
Now I can hear better.
Okay, great.
Yeah, a little better. I want you to ask you a question, something about something that's been puzzling me, but before I do, I wanted to say that I believe it was last week or week before last, I got a rerun of you, and you were talking about Kurt Vonnegut. Is that the way to pronounce his name?
Sure, Kurt Vonnegut.
And that was so good.
Well,
I
thank
just
you.
Thoroughly enjoyed that, listening to you talk about him and present some of his, some excerpts and all like that, and just really opened my eyes about the guy. And I always liked him. I always liked him on TV and everything. But it was really good. I really loved that.
Well, you know, every now and then you run across somebody who changes your world. And for me, Kurt Vonnegut was one of those people.
He sure is. And I just wanted to thank you for that. I just accidentally caught it. The question I wanted to ask, if you don't mind, is about these hearings that we've been having. For instance, when they had General Petraeus on.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
I barely can hear you. Anyway, they had the hearing, and they had, of course, the Code Pink people out there and all the different ones watching. And when they went to ask him questions, they didn't have him to swear in. And some of them got up and said, you know, you need to swear him in. And he had all of them arrested. And he was a Democrat.
That's true.
And then I saw, bless his heart, Senator Byrd was having a hearing, and the people were saying stuff, you know, and they really got upset when the Pace guy, you know, he's retiring, I guess, General Pace.
Well, he's not being retired so much as he's being cashiered. The Bush administration refused to renominate him after he started evincing some misgivings about the Iraq War.
Okay, I'm not really understanding you, but anyway, the Byrd, you know, was the head of it, and he got really upset with the crowd because Harkin was asking about what he had said about gays in the military, and so he had them all thrown out. But I was wondering, should that be? I mean, I don't think they were disturbing anything that much. They were, you know. Am I right or wrong?
No, well, Juanita, and I hope you can hear me.
I hear you now.
Okay. Part of the problem there was that Senator Byrd fueled the fire, because on the one hand, he'd sit there and he'd go into his sort of call and response old-time gospel hour act and work the crowd, and he had the crowd on his side. Well, then the crowd felt like they'd been empowered. The anti-war protesters felt like they had been empowered to share their thoughts, and then when it began to get out of his control, he turned on them.
Yeah. Well, I felt like that it was his condition, too. you know, you can tell he's gone way downhill.
Oh, sure he has, and especially since it's kind of tragic. It is tragic,
his
not kind of.
His wife died.
After Irma passed away, she really was his anchor in the world.
But he didn't have them arrested, but he did have them cleared, you know.
Right.
They did that. But the other guy had him arrested. And
well,
you know, that's when that preacher, I think, was hurt.
Right. Yeah. Well, and he didn't even get into the room.
No, that.
He got his leg.
I don't see where he did anything except say something.
No, you can watch the video. He did nothing.
Uh huh.
And he was tackled by six Capitol Police. They broke his leg in the process for literally doing nothing.
Right.
Now, you know, the other side of that, you asked about putting people under oath. I guess I'm old school or old fashioned or anything, but any time that you're giving testimony, it would seem to me natural that you would, as a matter of course, ask the person to swear to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Or affirm to tell the truth. You know, what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just promise that they're not going to sit there and lie.
Right.
Because as it turns out, you know, from the information that we've now got, it's apparent that General Petraeus did sit there and lie like a rug.
Uh-huh.
He lied to the Congress.
Yeah.
Because
and
the information...
They must have known he was going to.
Well, he's come out now and he said, well, you know, I misunderestimated the violence estimates for Iraq, and it wasn't exactly like what I said. Well, that's called lying.
Well, that sounds a little Gonzalo-esque or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's what it is par for the course for anyone associated with this administration.
Oh, yeah. You can't believe a thing they say, not anything.
No, we've got a saying here in the hills: the truth ain't in them.
That's, you got that right. But and then I have heard some people saying, you know, that the continually ignoring of the protest by our side, you know, anyone on our side. People are getting fed up with it, and they're wondering if they shouldn't be civil disobedience on our side. What do you think?
I think we're moving. I mean, there's been a lot of civil disobedience already. Cindy Sheehan, people like Jim Wallace from Sojourners, willing to be arrested to express their opinion, and I think that's gonna continue if we don't just fatigue on it.
I don't know about that one. Could you fill me in?
Well, I mean, the Jim Wallace and Cindy Sheehan and others have been arrested dozens of times.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, he was arrested that day too at Petraeus here.
Probably. Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't read it.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I believe
yeah.
he was.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
But you know, something's got to give. This is just getting ridiculous.
Well, it is. And, you know, there's polling data out.
Not ridiculous. It's really tragic.
Well, you're at, yes. Any word you choose to use. There's polling data out now that suggests that the American people are well and truly fed up.
Yeah.
With what's going on. And, in fact, a majority of Americans are now saying that they want the war funding cut. That's
mm-hmm.
that's news as of today. A majority of Americans oppose giving George Bush the $190 billion that he wants to continue killing Iraq and Afghanistan.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sure he wants it for that.
Well, it is. Well, you know, it's so ironic. He can't fully fund the state children's health insurance program, on the other hand, he wants $190 billion to keep blowing the living bejesus out of Iraqis and Afghanis.
And they're also he's also wanting to get the veterans who are not service connected get their VA benefits taken away or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's I saw. I think it was about the Petraeus hearing and on Larry King show. This is 2 or 3 weeks ago, whenever that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some soldiers on there that was some of our troops that were veterans against the war.
Right.
And there was this one guy, bless his heart, he got on there It was one of those programs on CNN. It may not have been Larry King, but anyway, he got on there and he just said, well, we got this guy in the White House. This is my way I say it. I can't say his exact words, but they were so great. He said, we got this guy in the White House that he was a deserter. I mean, he just went right through it about how he deserted his place, and that went all over the world. And, you know, that's not usually allowed on the news of any kind, but that went all over the world.
We need a lot more of it to go all over the world.
Him. But I tell you, that kid, that young soldier, you could tell he's serious. And, you know, they know how to get around things. That's what they were taught, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm so frustrated.
Look, it is frustrating, Juanita. It's nothing but frustrating. It's heartbreaking.
It is. And then this thing about Move On. They had these people on. They started from the beginning of it. The day it came out, they had these little pug nose. That's an insult to anybody that is pug nose. But anyway, these jerks from different that was in the House of Representatives. How dare they? And they act so condescending about it. And then first news, you know, here the Senate votes to, what is it? What did they
They voted to condemn the Move On ad. Oh, my. Yeah. Look, Juanita, the Congress has no business in any of these debates. I said that last night as well. They have no business debating whether or not Rush Limbaugh is a jerk. That's something for the court of public opinion.
The one thing, though, about him, he doesn't need to be in broadcasting to our troops.
No, he doesn't. And he doesn't, and, you know, that takes taxpayer dollars to do that.
Yes. That's one thing that they could bring up.
It is indeed. Juanita, it's very good to hear from you.
You too.
You ring in.
I believe that he's really brought a lot of the hate out in this country, and he's been doing it for so long. It's so embedded.
Yeah, 25 years worth of hate and vitriol. Yes. It's absolutely disgusting.
Yes, it is.
No, but that's why the horn exists, is to try to remedy some of that.
Yes.
Well, Juanita, you take care, and I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
I'll give it a try.
Okay, take care now.
You take care, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. My good friend Juanita, we're batting a million for Florida and, batting 600 for Florida and 300 for California so far tonight. Let's see who we've got this time through. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, this is Gerard from Indiana.
Hey, Gerard, how are you? Haven't heard from you in a while. You doing all right?
I'm doing good. I just had a couple of things tonight. First of all, I don't want you ever to apologize for being, a little... shall we say, overboard on accuracy and language?
Okay, good. I'm glad you've got my back. Sometimes there's a little list of words that just goes through me.
Well, you know, we got to have a lot of people like that around, because otherwise you get to a point where you're calling mercenaries contractors. You know what I'm saying?
Isn't that the truth?
And... So, you know, that's really all I have to say about that. I mean, and we've got things happening like Frank Luntz hosting presidential candidate debates. You know, it's just, sometimes you just got to stand up and say, hey, this is the way it is. And this is the way, you know, language means something.
Well, you know, it was the Republicans who gave us that well-worn phrase now, Gerard. Yeah. Words mean things.
Yep.
And if they meant something when they were attacking Bill Clinton, surely to God they still mean something now.
Yeah, they sure do. And speaking of words, listeners hear something that I was. It's kind of a personal story, but I think it applies to what's going on with the Bush administration. And maybe there are others out there who know about this and work this too, but maybe I'm just waking up to it. But recently, the job I have, I work for a retail, a big box retailer in the Midwest here, and we're in five states, and I'm in a, like a first level management position, and they recently restructured their management structure. And what happened was I went from being just overnight by I went to, from being a salaried management person to a management person who punches a clock. And because the my status was changed, it also meant that there was a change or at least a restructure in my health benefits. Now, when they do that, they send out to you this booklet. It's, I don't know, it's probably 20 or 30 pages long here, about, you know, the specifics of your health plan and what, you know, your rights and all that is. And I was hoping maybe to catch Agnes tonight because she might, I know she has a medical background and she probably has some experience in this, but, you know, I'm just geeky enough to read this whole thing to find out what's in it, since it is about my health plan.
Sure.
And I read it, and there was something in here that caught my eye immediately because I had never seen this before in other health plans that I had. And I'd like to just read it. It's just a paragraph.
Okay, go ahead.
And they're talking about what's known as the HEPA laws, what they can who and what they can disclose your personal health information to.
Right.
And it says it's there's a they have a section here and there's a bullet point. There's about six bullet points here, but it, the heading on the section goes, "We are permitted to use or disclose PHI, personal health information, about you for the following purposes." And one of them is protective services for the president and others. We may disclose PHI about you to authorized federal officials so they may provide protection to the president, other authorized persons or foreign heads of state, or conduct special investigations. So I'm reading this, and I had never noticed that particular clause in health benefit packages that I had before. And I'm having this kind of a, I don't know, I guess I'd call it an Andy Rooney moment, you know. And I'm going, I'm thinking, but why would the president need to know my health information for his own protection? And if, you know, if he needs to know my personal health information for his...
Well, I can tell you how that works, if you want.
Sure.
You write a letter to George Bush, and you say, "Dear George, I hope you get hit by a truck." the Johnny-on-the-spot Secret Service will then invoke the HEPA law, because that law has nothing to do with your privacy and everything to do with invading it. And they will then scrutinize your medical and employment records to find out if, A, you drive a truck, or, B, you've ever sought treatment for any form of mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
At which point, they will make a determination as to whether or not you are a threat to the president. The one that scares the life out of me, though, Gerard, is that catch-all at the bottom of what you read, you know, to protect the president, foreign heads of state, yada, 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 or for any, what was that, any national security purpose?
It says, yeah, or conduct special investigations.
Okay, special investigations, right. You could drive a truck sideways through that garbage.
Yeah, easily.
You know, anything is a special investigation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say you write a letter to the editor of your local newspaper, and you sound a little bit, you know, malcontent.
Yeah, strident.
Well, you know, the FBI, and they've proven it, the Gonzalez lied about it to the Congress under oath, but then it came out that, in fact, the FBI had misused national security letters, which is what they would turn around and use in order to get at the information that they're talking about in that clause, for improper purposes. Maybe to quell dissent. Or maybe just to send you a message that, you know, you need to shut up.
Yeah.
You have a you're not being paranoid. You're not. I beg your pardon?
As opposed to tasing me.
Well, yeah, don't tase me, bro. But yeah, you have you're not being paranoid. There's nothing goofy about being afraid of that particular situation. That is creepy. That's the police state hard at work. It reminds me to a certain extent, or to one degree or another, although it's not the same thing, of the fact that it's inside No Child Left Behind that they've hidden the fact that every parent in the United States has to affirmatively opt out of having their kid hustled by military recruiters.
Mm-hmm.
You don't opt in and tell the military they can recruit your kid in high school. You have to opt out of that. That's not inside the Patriot Act. That's not inside of any sort of military defense spending bill or defense appropriations or authorization bill. That's tucked away inside of No Child's Behind Left. And it's creepy, because I would warrant that 99% of American parents out there, Gerard, who are spending day in and day out just trying to keep food on their families, they don't know it's there. So they send little Sunshine, who's a high school sophomore or junior, off to high school every day, unwittingly subjecting them to being hustled by the military to go and get thrust into the meat grinder in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing, too, talking about language and knowing, you're talking about knowing what's in the law, what's actually in the law. And, you know, I'm kind of jokingly mentioning the student at the University of Florida. But the thing, for me, the background thing on that was so astounding in watching that video is all those students who are sitting there and are not aware of the fact that this person's rights are being violated.
Yeah.
You know, that they're not, as part of the dumbing down of America, they are not aware that there's anything out of kilter with the way that those police behave.
Well, let's take a college freshman who might have been in that room, Gerard. 18 years old, because this is the first semester. 18 years old, so that means they have not known anything but the Bush police state since roughly the time that they became self-aware at around age 11 or 12.
Yeah.
That's a sobering thought. The reason they reacted the way they did is because that's the America that they know.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been actively taught the Constitution. They haven't been taught civics. They haven't been taught the Bill of Rights. And every time they thought about raising it, they see it getting stricken down, if they're politically aware, in something like the Bong Hits for Jesus case.
Right.
So, you know, there's a reason that they just stood there. That's what happens in America. People get tasered for saying the wrong thing in America. That's all they know.
Yeah.
You know, they were born, They were born the year of Rodney King.
Right.
Or maybe, you know, maybe they were toddlers when Rodney King went down. That is the America that they live in. You know, and it's understandable, because I guess part of the reason I am the way I am, I'm certainly not a member of the generations who could sit in or participate in the Summer of Love or anything. I'm 44 years old. But I was a child, and I was getting images into my brain or sounds or words at a time in America when dissent flourished.
Yeah. Well, I'm slightly older than you, but it's you know, and that's the thing to me when I see these things happening. I think right away. I mean, the images come right away of the 68 Democratic Convention in Chicago, of
sure.
Kent State, of, you know, all those things that happened back then.
And and somebody who was born in 1970, they were toddlers when Watergate was happening. You can't blame them for not knowing, but you can wish to God that there was some way of helping them know.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's kind of like what I said with Juanita. It's part of the reason this exists. You know, every now and then I'll get a call from a 20-something, or, you know, we've got a couple of teenage listeners that it just thrills me to know that they're out there, because it means to me that you know, if we could only plant one seed, if we could only plant two seeds, if we could only get two, you know, if we could only get four seeds in the ground, then maybe the Constitution has hope.
Yeah.
But right now, it's pretty doggone grim, isn't it?
Yeah, seems that way. But I was listening to, actually, the rerun of, I guess it was yesterday's program, and you were talking to Phil from Florida?
Yes.
Daytona. And, you know, that's, I think he's spot on. I mean, we just, same old thing that's been going on for the last 6 years. We just got to get out there and change it, you know. I'm a person.